The book of James, chapter 4. We're studying, been studying for this last quarter about faith, the test of faith. Christian life is a life of faith. We're saved by grace through faith, but we live by faith. The just shall live by faith. We've been talking about the test of faith, the purpose of our test, and also the source of our temptations. We've been talking about the many characteristics of faith, how faith obeys the word, how faith removes partiality, how faith also it proves itself by our works, how faith produces wisdom. And today we're going to be talking about how faith produces humility, in chapter number 4. We see that believers today are on the battlefront, are we not? We're on the battlefront. Everywhere we go, the fight is fierce. The foes are fierce. And a lot of things are out there to try to discourage us in our life as a Christian. But we see that Satan himself is doing all he can to destroy the church and Jesus Christ. But I'm so glad I read in Matthew chapter 16 when Jesus was speaking to his disciples there, and he asked them, "Who do men say that I am?" And then he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Jesus said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "On this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Thank God for that today. Jesus is building the church. We're not. He is. And we know that by his help, we're going to be more than conquerors as we do this. So we see, as we look at this today, we see that the conflict in the ages here, and we see it is a spiritual conflict. And the only source of help we have, folks, is prayer. Prayer is so important in our life. This is the only way we can conquer. It's through prayer, through praying to the Lord. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against principalities, against wickedness. This is the high places, the Bible tells us this. And all believers, we should unite together in faith, in love, and also in prayer. We have to unite together to pray and to be more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. We also see that there's a conflict among Christians today. There are two major conflicts in the lives of Christians today. Two things we're really fighting. Number one is carnality. Carnality. Being like the world. Yielding to the world. Giving in to the world. Hey, brother. And the second one is, not only is there carnality, there's also covetousness. Covetousness, desiring what the world offers us. That's what covetousness is. So we see carnality and covetousness are the main conflicts in our lives as Christians today, as we live here in this world. However, we see these things choke out prayer. These things in our life, carnality and covetousness, choke out prayer in our life, which is very important. So we see that though the church is active, the church is doing good things, we cannot allow these two things come in our lives as individuals, and even as a church, we have to keep these things away from us. So we see, how can we do this? To be effective in our lives as a Christian and as a church, we see, first of all, it requires attention to the Word of God. Attention to the Word of God. We must stay in the Bible, read the Bible, study the Bible, to keep carnality out of us, keep covetousness out of us, in order for the church to prosper and to be what it ought to be. Not only do we give attention to the Word of God, but we must listen to the wooing of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will convict us. The Spirit of God will instruct us. It will teach us what we ought to be, what we ought to be, and what we ought to be doing in our lives. So we're talking about today, we're talking about how faith produces humility. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We also see humbling ourselves before God. We need to humble ourselves before God as a believer in order for God to keep us where we ought to be, carnality out and also covetousness out of our lives as believers. Also, as we do this, go before God, we'll find grace to right us the wrong in us. See, it's the grace of God that's going to change us. We can't change ourselves. It's his grace that changes us in this life as a Christian, you see. It also involves submission to God. submission to God, submitting ourselves to God, resisting the devil, having him to flee from it. You ever have a thought that you wonder where it come from? I do. And I say, Satan, get behind me and leave me alone. You know, we have to resist the devil in our life. But don't worldliness is going to come in our mind. And covetousness also. We also have to cleanse ourselves. Ask God to cleanse us and forgive us of our sins and talk with God seriously. Talk with God just like you do your children. Talk to God just like you do your spouse or your boss. Be serious when we talk to God. And these things will help us to overcome carnality and also covetousness. And we see that any church or any individual that will do these things, we can experience revival ourselves, and we can experience revival as a church when these things are out of our life, you see. We cannot war against Satan while we're warring against one another. We have to be for one another and encourage one another, you see. Now, are you on the battlefield? I am. Are you on the battlefield for Christ and his church? Well, the way to do our best fighting against carnality and covetousness is praying. Pray and ask God to help us in our lives as we go through each day. Now, in James chapter 4, verse number 1, we see evidently that the worldliness was among the believers whom James is writing here. There's worldliness. They were seeking the friendship of the world, therefore they became unfaithful to God. And that's applicable to us today. That's applicable to us. When we seek the friendship of the world, we're going to become unfaithful to God in our own lives. We also see here, Christ and the world are opposites. Christ and the world are opposites. They're not the same. The saint cannot be both. We can't be for Christ and for the world. It doesn't work that way. Okay? It is not Christ and the world. It is simply Christ or the world. See, one or the other, it's got to be in our lives, you see. The Holy Spirit that lives within us as a believer, we see, should fully control us. The Bible tells us that when the Holy Spirit controls us, he dethrones, if you please, all that is opposed our life in Christ. Turn to Romans chapter 8, first of all. Romans chapter 8, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, how he controls us. If he controls us, he dethrones that is opposed our life in Christ. In Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now notice, who walk not after the what? Flesh, but after what? The Spirit. It says, for the law of the Spirit is of life in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. See, it's the Spirit of God that makes us free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Why? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Notice, who walk not after the flesh, but after who? The Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the what? Flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, the writer of Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Right? So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Talking about children of God. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's how you can be assured that you're a child of God. The Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the what? Flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the what? Spirit of God, they are who? The sons of God. The sons of God. You see, so we see the Holy Spirit is so important in our life. James here is cautioning here against worldliness and corrupt affections that people have here in this chapter, chapter number 4. We see worldliness and fleshly lust fleshliness and worldly lust will not allow contentment and satisfaction. We can't have it. We won't have these kind of things in our lives, you see. Sinful desires they stop our prayers. They hinder our prayers because of these things, you see. So we're talking about how faith produces humility. Faith produces humility. The apostle here, he reproves the Jewish Christians for their ways, for things that are going on in their life at this time. We see also that we have warring among us all. There's warring to avoid in our lives as a believer. The friendship of this world is one thing. The friendship of this world we war against every day. You know, there is happiness somewhat in the world, but it doesn't last, does it? It's only temporary. The world will conform ourselves to it if we're not careful by being attracted to it, and we'll do everything that the world wants us to do. And therefore, it's necessary. For the peace that we need in our life among us, let us there be realized that if we have peace, if we're friends to the world, we're going to be enemies to God. We're going to be enemies to God. The Word of God tells us that. Now, look in verse number 1, James chapter 4. James says, for whence come wars and fightings among you? Notice this is a question. James is asking a question to these believers here. He says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Now notice the question asked. Now he speaks of war. Notice he says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? We see the question here is asked about wars. Where do these wars come from? Well, among you, he says, wars among men in our members. Strife, fighting within ourselves, you see. Lust, pleasures, gratifying, sinful desires, all these things. Well, the question is this, from where do these things come? Where do these things come? Now notice the word ye in this verse. Ye. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Now notice verse 2. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. The word ye is used there 5 times. 5 times in that one verse, you see. See, wars and strifes and all these, we have to admit, they do not come from Jesus Christ, do they? From Jesus Christ comes the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, and all these things. So fightings and strife and all these things do not come from Christ. We see here, James also, he is not blaming the devil for this. He's not blaming the devil for these things that come up. He's talking about ye, among ye, as an individual, you see. There's fightings and wars going on within us. See, and where do they come from? Where do they come from? What are they doing? Now we see the answer to this question is among you. Among you. It says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Among you. What I'm saying is sometimes we bring things on ourselves. Okay? It's not always the devil's fault or somebody else's fault that I have problems in my life. These wars and fightings that we're going through as a Christian, sometimes they're brought upon by ourselves, among you. He's speaking about this here. The fightings among you, he says here. So the answer to the question is close at hand. From whence comes these wars and fightings? Among you as an individual, you see. We need to look and examine some things here, you see. Now, that's the question. And verse 2 through 4, we find that question is answered. The question is, from whence come wars and fightings among you? In verse number 2, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. We see here the answer is our fleshly lust. Our fleshly lust causes war and strife within us. Our flesh. I'll be so glad to lay down this flesh, won't you? This flesh gets us in trouble a lot. It really does. Praise God, one day we won't have this body of flesh. We're going to have a glorified body. And we won't have to worry about fleshly lust no more. It's going to be over with, we see. See, Jesus finds three sources here for bad behavior. He gives us three sources for bad behavior in our life. First of all, we find in verse number 2, the first part says, you lust and have not. The first source of bad behavior is our wants. Our wants. And sometimes our wants can become fleshly. They can become fleshly. He says, our wants are fleshly. We also see in the last part of that verse, verse 2, you lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and also cannot obtain. Cannot obtain. Desire. Our desires. Our wants, our desires. And also we see here our desires and the wars that are within us. These three things are the sources of bad behavior in the life of a Christian. It tells us that in this verse, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have, that's covet, and also you cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. Human passion, what we want in our life sometimes can keep the church in turmoil. And it can keep ourselves in turmoil because of desiring things in this world. You know, I don't have to tell you this. The world offers a lot of things to us, does it not? And a lot of things are good, but a lot of things are bad for the Christian. And we have to ask God to make us wise and realize that everything in this world is not for me as a Christian. Everywhere in this world is not for me to go as a Christian, you see. And if I go places and I do things that I shouldn't do, I'm asking for trouble. And I'm going to get out of fellowship with God, you see. And I'm not going to have the peace of God that he wants me to have. Now, in verse 3, he says, verse 3, look at verse 3. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. You ask amiss. You see, you have not because you ask not. You ask not. Have you ever wanted something in your life and desired something in your life and, hey, you find yourself not asking for it? You're not asking for it? Well, maybe that's why we don't get it sometimes. We don't ask. Or maybe we ask amiss. Maybe we ask amiss. It's not the right order. You know, they're not the right purpose we have here. We see here the word ask. Ye ask not. Have not because you ask not. What does ask involve? Ask is in reference to something to be given. Something to be given, or in contrast with someone to do something. That's asking. Something to be given or someone to do something. That involves asking. It's a contrast here between this. And then the asking amiss here is you know, out of order. It's improper. It's not what you need. It's not what you should have, you see. Asking amiss. It is depraved. It's bad in its very nature. Amiss, something that is bad in its very nature, you see. So first of all, we see here in verse number 3, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you can consume it yourself. But the last part of verse 2 says, you have not because you ask not. So we see here, we have sometimes the wrong attitude towards prayer. A failure to pray personally. There's a failure to pray personally. We need to pray personally to God. You know, God, listen, God wants to hear from you. God wants to hear from me as his child. And we need to pray personally to God, you know, for our lives. We often do not get why we do not ask. We do not ask. We see. So a failure to pray personally. And then there's a failure to pray properly. We ask amiss. We ask amiss. It's not in order. You know, I don't think it would be orderly for me to ask God to give me a new car. That wouldn't be in order. I got a car. I don't need one, okay? So we need to make sure that we do ask amiss when we ask for things in our life. But thank God, aren't you glad that we can call upon God and ask him for things that we need in our life, and God will grant those things to us? I'm glad our Heavenly Father loves us that much, folks. He loves us enough to give us what we want. Now, let's notice some rules about praying. First of all, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 26. Praying is very important in our lives, but there's some rules about praying. In Matthew chapter 26, look at verse 39. The first rule about praying, Matthew 26 and verse 39. And he went a little farther, Jesus did, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now, this is Jesus speaking. But notice what he said. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. The first rule for praying is make sure that we're praying according to God's will. Praying according to God's will. And if Jesus, God in the flesh, prayed this prayer, asking God to remove the cup from him, nevertheless, not my will, but your will. So much more do we, when we pray, need to ask God's will first. God's will. Because God's will for you and me is best, folks. It's always best. God's will. And when we pray for God's will to be done, it's going to be for his good, his glory and our good. His glory and our good. So the first rule for praying is pray according to God's will. Now turn back to Matthew 21. We got another rule for praying. Now James tells these people, you have not because you ask not. You're not praying. You're not personally praying, and you're praying improperly. So I want to give some real rules for praying. Pray. Matthew 21 and verse 22. Look at verse 22. The second rule for praying is found in Matthew 21, verse 22. In all things whatsoever you ask, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer. What's the next word? Believing. Believing ye shall what? Receive. Believing you shall receive. So the second rule to prayer is to pray in faith. Believing God when you pray. If I don't believe God when I pray, why should I pray? Huh? I'm wasting time, you see? But when I pray, I should believe God is going to do something. He's going to do something. It might not be right now. It might be next week, next month. But he's going to do something, you know, sooner or later. We need to pray in faith. So the first rule of prayer is to pray according to God's will, then pray in faith. And then the next one is found in Psalm chapter 66, verse 18. Psalm 66, verse 18, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So we have to be cleansed from our sin for God to hear our prayer and God to answer our prayer. If we have sin in our life, God is not going to hear us. And then last but least, in John chapter 14, another rule of prayer, John 14, look over there at verse number 13. John 14, verse 13. Jesus says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, in whose name? Jesus' name. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I what? I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So at last we should pray in whose name? In Jesus' name. We should pray in Jesus' name. We should pray according to God's will. We should pray by faith. We should pray with our hearts clean. And then we should pray in Jesus' name. Now, back in James chapter 4 again. Let's notice some enemies here about our lives as Christians praying. In James chapter number 4, look at verse 4. Again, we're going to read verse 4 again. It says here, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, folks, those are strong words. Those are strong words. If we are a friend to the world, we're an enemy with God. We're an enemy with God. Now, notice here, we see there are in the New Testament, we see the Trinity involved in these things about the world, the flesh, and the devil. First of all, turn with me to 1 John. 1 John and chapter number 2. I want us to look at the relationship between God the Father and the world. God the Father, we're going to look at the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. First of all, the relationship between God the Father and the world. In 1 John and chapter number, hold me, excuse me. 1 John and chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2, look at verse number 15. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father. Right? Is not of the Father, but is of what? The world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So we see, first of all, that God the Father is an enemy of the world. Enemy of the world, he is. Look also in 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse number 8. Turn over a page, probably. Verse number 8. We see God the Son is the enemy of Satan. God the Son is the enemy of Satan. In chapter 3, verse number 8, the Bible says, he that committed sin is of who? The devil. He that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. Notice, for this purpose, the Son of God was what? He was manifest. Why? That he might destroy the works of the devil. He might destroy the works of the devil. So we see, God the Father is a special enemy of the world. God the Son is the enemy of Satan. And look back in John chapter 3. St. John, chapter 3, we're going to see the Holy Spirit is the foe of the flesh. John, chapter 3, and verse number 6. Very familiar verse. That which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So we see the Trinity involved in this thing of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Here we see God the Father is the special enemy of the world. God the Son, he is the enemy of Satan, and God the Spirit, Holy Spirit, is the enemy of the flesh. The flesh here. So we see sin in the life of Christians. Faith produces humility. Faith produces humility. In verse number 5 of John chapter 4. Says, do ye think the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Of course, we know that's not true. So we see that sin in the life resists to be resisted in verse 6 and 7. We see here, verse 6, But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. We see here the call to submit. To submit to God. To submit to the Holy Spirit, the working. Grace, the call to submit, the grace of God. We see here. We see also, grace is the key to the kingdom of God. Grace also is the death blow to our pride. The grace of God. When we realize the grace of God, the love of God in our lives, we're going to see that there's going to be a blow to pride. Someone said, pride is the offspring of ignorance. Pride is the offspring of ignorance, and humility is the child of wisdom. Humility is the child of wisdom. You know, a wise person normally is a humble person, are they not? They're humble. But a proud person is not. He's not. So we see here, I like John Newton's song, Amazing Grace, don't you? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Thank God for his grace, folks. Thank God for his grace here. We see here how we need to submit. Now we see in verse 7, the secret of victory. Verse 7. We see, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Submission. Submit ourselves to God. Submit ourselves to understand the truth of God, the Word of God. Submit ourselves to the will of his instruction or his purpose in our life. Submission is very important. Submit to the will of his providence. God will provide for everything we need in our life. Submit ourselves to God because he is always ready to do good. To you and to me, always submit ourselves to God. You see, if we yield to temptation, you know what? If we yield to temptation, what's going to happen? The devil is going to continually to follow us. He'll follow us. But if we submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, he'll flee from us. I mean, how many times in a day I had to say, Satan, get behind me. Leave me alone. You know, that's resisting him. And trying to submit to God, you know, because God is the one that's going to give me victory, you see. Now, the Lord will comfort one who will really mourn, that is, who will be concerned, that is, humble themselves. He will help us, he will comfort us. Now, look in verse number 8. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. It says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, notice something here said. He's talking about your hands and your heart. Your hands and your heart go together. Always they go together, you see. Notice the hands and the heart. The hands symbolize our outward life or what we do. The heart speaks of our inward life. That's what God sees and knows about us. Okay? Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts, he says. Our hands and hearts go together, you see. The hands speak of what we do. We do with our hands, do we not? We work with our hands, okay? On the other hand, the heart speaks of what we are. From out of the heart comes the issues of life. What we are comes from our heart. But we see our hands speak what we do. They show what we do, you see. The hands and the heart must be put together. The hands and our heart must be put together. We're talking about how faith produces humility. Faith produces humility. Now, in closing, may I say this? We sin because we are sinners. Okay? Now listen to this. We're not sinners because we sin. But we sin because we are sinners. Have you got that? We sin because we are sinners. Okay? Now, we are made what we are makes us do what we do. What we are makes us do what we do. Again, because we are sinners, we're going to sin. We're going to come short, are we not? But humility, faith produces humility. Now look at verse number 9. Let's read these verses. Be afflicted and mourn. And what? Weep. Talking about humility now. It says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Verse 12, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Humility. Faith produces humility. We've been talking about love not the world. Okay? We've been talking about praying, submitting, cleansing, and yielding ourselves to God. Faith produces humility. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to conclude James by talking about the triumph of faith. The triumph of faith. There is victory in faith. Faith is the victory, okay? We're going to talk about that next week, Lord willing. Father, thank you today for your word. Thank you, Lord, for James. Thank you for using him to write these words to encourage us in our Christian life as we walk and live from day to day. Now, we know, Lord, with your help, we're more than conquerors. But Lord, without your help, we know we're going to be defeated. So Father, help us to submit ourselves to you. Lord, help us, dear God, to try to love not the world. And Lord, try to pray like we should and keep our lives and our hearts cleansed before you. God, that you might see fit to use us somehow. Lord, to bring glory to yourself. Bless these people together today. Have your will away now in the next service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.